All right, welcome to episode 306 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. In today's podcast, we're going to be discussing the church in Thyatira. The church in Thyatira. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for the salvation that is in Jesus. Thank you for saving us from our sins. Thank you for your Son dying for us on the cross. Thank you because of your Son's sacrifice on the cross, we can call ourselves children of God. Lord, we pray that may you please cleanse and purify us of all unrighteousness. And as we study your word this morning, we pray that may your Spirit, your sweet Holy Spirit, speak to us, speak through me, speak to our hearts. Let our hearts be prepared to receive your truth. And we pray for the grace to not just hear your word, but to practice your word. It's in your mighty name we pray. Amen. So, before I jump into the church in Thyatira, you know, across many different podcasts on this website, I have talked about the first three churches in the book of Revelation. I've talked about the church in Ephesus. You know, I believe I had a series on that. But not just that, we also talked about First Love. First Love is a relatively recent series on this website. And I talk about the church in Ephesus from a somewhat different perspective. And then I do have a series on the church in Smyrna. I literally have a series on that. And in addition to discussing the church in Smyrna, I had another like parallel series where I talked about, again, this is a relatively recent one, God standards, world standards. And again, that used the church in Smyrna as our center point. But we kind of discuss them from a different perspective. And then the third church that I've examined on this podcast, on this website, is the church in Pergamum. Sometimes you may see it referred to as the church in Pergamos. And again, I have a series on that, actually. You know, Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. I think it's like a 13 or 12 part series. I know I made that a while back. But again, recently, in fact, this is probably the podcast. It's not probably, it's the podcast just before this one. I talked about... I discussed a topic called inside job versus outside job. Again, same discussion of the church in Pergamos, but from a different perspective, So the church in Thyatira, I have never discussed on the website before, as far as I know. So we're going to discuss that church. But again, for a quick summary of the three churches, remember Ephesus, the big message that I've emphasized a lot in this podcast. Again, if you missed these podcasts, you should go back and listen to them. There's really a lot that you stand to gain from these. But the church in Ephesus, the big message was for them to stay hungry, right? For them to not retire in their walk with God. The Bible says that they had departed from their first love. That was the big con that the Lord had against them. So that was the big thing, right? You know, you should never retire in your walk with God. You should still have that enthusiasm and that hunger. And then the church in Smyrna, the big thing with that church was suffering, right? The church in Smyrna, they illustrated the purpose of and the benefits of suffering. And then the church in Pergamum, which is the third church, basically, we discussed this whole concept of if the devil cannot get you from the outside, you know, usually by persecution, he'll try to get you from the inside. He'll try to cause you to self-destruct by seduction with the things of the world to get you off track, you know, like false doctrine, right? Money, sexual sin, you know, things of the world to seduce you to walk away from God, to distract you away from your relationship with God. Right. And again, I think I've mentioned this in previous podcasts about the three categories of churches in the book of Revelation. Right. So we said that there are churches that, you know, there are three categories. There are seven churches, three categories. Number one, the most popular group were churches that had pros and cons. Right. So far, right, the church in Ephesus was certainly one of those kinds of churches. The church in Pergamum was certainly one of those churches. The church in Thyatira is certainly going to be one of those churches. And I believe the church in Sardis and one more church, those five, they're the ones that fall into that category. So Ephesus, Pergamum, Thyatira, and Sardis. Okay, they're the four that fall into that first category. The second category are churches that have only pros. So these are churches where the Lord was actually very pleased with them. He didn't have anything to say against them or anything negative to say about them. There are two churches that fit this bill. The church in Smyrna which we've examined, and the church in Philadelphia, which, God willing, we will examine. And then the final group, this is like the worst group of the bunch. This is a church where Jesus had nothing good to say about them. It was all cons. That's the very last church that is referred to in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 3 of the seven churches. That's going to be the church in Laodicea. Again, God willing, we will talk about that church in a lot of detail down the line. So now that I've given that background, I think, again, just to kind of help some people catch up and kind of stay on task, we're going to go to the church in Thyatira. And God willing, this is going to be a series, right? So the church in Thyatira, this is going to be from Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 to 29. Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 to 29. And I am going to read this from the New King James Version, the New King James Version. Even my version of the Bible here kind of gives a header for this church. It says that this is the corrupt church. All right. So it says, "And to the angel of the church in Thyatira, right, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your first works, the last are more than the first." You know what? I think we should use the New Living Translation for this. I really want to buttress some points. All right, let's start again. Okay, so write this letter to the angel of the church in Thyatira. This is the message from the Son of God, whose eyes are like flames of fire, whose feet are like polished bronze. I know all the things you do. I have seen your love, your faith, your service, and your patient endurance. And I can see your constant improvement in all these things. But I have this complaint against you. You are permitting that woman, that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to lead my servants astray. She teaches them to commit sexual sin and to eat food offered to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to turn away from her immorality. Therefore, I will throw her on a bed of suffering, and those who commit adultery with her will suffer greatly, unless they repent and turn away from her evil deeds. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am the one who searches out the thoughts and intentions of every person. And I will give to each of you whatever you deserve. But I also have a message for the rest of you in Thyatira, who have not followed this false teaching, deeper truths as they call them, depths of Satan, actually. I will ask nothing more of you, except that you hold tightly to what you have until I come. To all who are victorious, who obey me to the very end, to them I will give authority over all the nations. They will rule the nations with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. They will have the same authority I received from my Father, and I will also give them the morning star. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Right? So kind of a brief history on this, on Thyatira, right? So Thyatira, the big thing about this place is that it was a big center of commerce, right? I believe they had a lot of commerce going on, right? In fact, many of you probably remember the story of Lydia from the Bible. She was, I believe, the first person that the Apostle Paul brought to Christ in Philippi. She was actually a merchant in Thyatira. So Thyatira was a big place with a lot of commerce. And if you really look at this letter, compared to all the letters to the churches, I believe this is actually the longest one, right? This one kind of goes for a while, from verses 18 to 29. That's literally like 12 verses just devoted to this church, right? And if you read the early parts of this letter to the church, this church was doing really well, right? They literally had all the bells and whistles, right? They had all the bells and whistles. So let's actually kind of look at their pros, because this church was actually doing pretty well. We're doing pretty well. So let's look at the pros of this church. What did this church do well? We see that in verse 19. I know all the things you do. I have seen your love, your faith, right? So they really loved. They had faith. They did a lot of service, right? they had a lot of patient endurance, right? Remember, the Bible says in Matthew 24:13, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved, right? And then look at this last part. It's really important. I can see your constant improvement in all these things. Constant improvement, right? So this is a very important concept with this church, right? Like, there's a translation that actually says that these people were continuously improving. They were continuously improving. They were continuously improving. To buttress this point, I think it's actually helpful for us to look at the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'll read from verses 3 to 11. This whole concept of consistent improvement, right? Consistent improvement. It says, by his divine power, again from the New Living Translation, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. Now, let's look at verse 8. Let's really hone in on verse 8. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, this concept of constant improvement is a concept you really need to understand as a child of God, right? So let's read verse 8 from the English Standard Version. Let's read verse 8 from the English Standard Version. I'm going to toggle between that here. Okay, so verse 8 says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. So these qualities, they cannot just be in you. They actually have to be increasing. They actually have to be increasing. So I think verse 8 should really help us kind of beg the question, how are you relative to the beginning? How are you relative to the day you committed yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? It's kind of a soul-searching question we need to ask ourselves. You know, are you the same person that you were at salvation? Or has the process of sanctification started running its course in your life, right? The thing that you need to understand is that God really values productivity. God values productivity. God does not want you staying the same way. This is almost like an application of what we learned in the church in Ephesus. You need to stay hungry. You need to keep growing. You literally need to keep growing, right? Because if you remember the parable of the talents in the book of Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30, we're not going to read that. You can read it on your own time. But Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. The productive servants, they were called good and faithful. But the unproductive one was called wicked and lazy. Well, what did the good and faithful servants do? The first one had 5 talents. He doubled it and got it to 10 talents. The second one had 2 talents. He doubled it and made it into 4 talents. So compared to their beginning states of 5 talents and 2 talents, things changed. They increased. They improved. But the servant that was called the third servant was called a wicked and lazy servant. That was an unproductive servant. Well, that person was given 1 talent and he stayed at 1 talent. Now, in the eyes of the world, it may be, again, this is like a good example of God's standards versus world standards. In the eyes of the world, he didn't lose that 1 talent. So it's like, hey, at least he maintained. Nothing wrong with that. you know, he kind of stayed true. Nothing wrong with that, right? He maintained. It's not like he lost the one talent. No, he actually like buried it in the ground, I believe, and saved it, right? But the problem there from scripture, if we understand the context of scripture, is that he made no gains on it. He literally made no gains on it. Literally, no gains on it. And maintenance is not a concept in the kingdom of God, right? God values people that are assets, not liabilities. And the thing is, if you're not growing, you're already retrogressing. Because many people think that, oh, if I at least maintain, I'm set, I'm good to go. At least I'm not losing anything, I'm good to go. That concept is not a good concept to keep in mind as a child of God. God wants you to grow, right? He says in verse 8 of 2 Peter chapter 1, for if these qualities are yours, so let's say you have the qualities of faith and of virtue and of knowledge and of self-control and of steadfastness and of godliness and brotherly affection and love. So you have these things. If you have these things, but they are not increasing, guess what? According to this reading, you're ineffective and you're unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So you may have them, but if you're not increasing, if you're not having more virtue today than you had, like say weeks ago, or you're not having more self-control today than you had weeks ago, or you're not having more of a knowledge of the word of God that you had weeks ago than you had at salvation, you need to check your walk with God. You're already regressing in your walk with God, right? So let me ask you this. How do you make these improvements? Because this church, that was what Jesus was really pleased with this church. The Bible says that they constantly improved, right? God was pleased with their constant improvement in all things, their continuous improvement, right? So how do you make these improvements? Well, you need to be diligent. Look at Peter. Peter said, hey, that, you know, give all diligence, right? You should work hard. Let me tell you this. True salvation, living that repentant life, involves hard work. It's not easy labor. But again, this hard work, you're not going to do it in your own strength. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. God will give you grace. God will give you strength. You have the help of the Holy Spirit, but you have to be diligent, right? You need to give dedicated work. You need to give deliberate work. There is actually a part, I think, of the book of, I think, either 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy or Hebrews is one of those parts of scripture. And it specifically says that you should train yourself to be godly, right? Training. So that means it's something you have to go through. You have to go through training. You have to work hard on it, right? In fact, there's a Bible verse that says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Salvation is like a workout. If you even notice, the Apostle Paul talks quite extensively about like running in a race, right? That the person that's running a race is not going to be entangled in civilian affairs, right? That, you know, he presses on toward the mark of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. When you're pressing on, it means that you're working against some kind of resistance, right? So you need to be diligent. You need to be dedicated. There's no such thing as easy Christianity. There's no such thing as microwave Christianity. There's no such thing as drive-through Christianity. You actually have to put in the work. There is grace for that work, but you need to put in the work. You need to put in the work, right? Because again, if you say that you're saved and you're not taking that responsibility of living a life of repentance, you've not actually been saved at all in the first place. Again, the prayer of salvation does not a Christian make. It is believing in Jesus and living a repentant life that makes a Christian, right? So be diligent, be dedicated, give deliberate work, right? Powered by God's grace, powered by the help of the Holy Spirit, right? God wants you to make changes. He wants you to improve. He wants you to carry your cross daily. Why would he use the word daily, right? Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, right? Deny himself means you're making sacrifices, right? You're making sacrifices. Many of you listening to this podcast are in medicine, right? You're medical students. If you want to do well on your USMLE exams or you want to march into a residency, you need to deny yourself some comforts. There are some days where you just want to sit down and watch Netflix the whole day. But you know that, if I don't study for my exams, I'll be left behind in life, right? So you need to deny yourself. You need to make sacrifices. You need to work hard, right? Take up that cross daily. So that means, this is not just something you do once. Because you see some people, they believe that, once I say that prayer of salvation, I'm done. No, There's a walk with Christ. There's living that life of repentance. There's letting the process of sanctification run its course in your life. There's that process of going through suffering, of going through the discipline of the Lord, so that you can grow to become a Christ follower. It's a daily walk. It's something that you have to clock in every single day. And you have to put in the work and the effort every single day. See, let me tell you this. If you're inconsistent in daily putting in work in your walk with God, you're going to fall behind as a believer. You're going to derail in your salvation. You cannot just be a person that lives a repentant life or works on your salvation with fear and trembling on Sundays, as many people do. No, it's something you need to do on Monday through Sunday, every single moment of your life. Because if you're not working on that, guess what? You're already beginning to derail, right? So please, you want to make changes. Like, for example, you don't want to be a person that, oh, wow, the elementary truths of the gospel is what you're still subsisting on, right? You're still subsisting on the milk of the Bible, right? After a while, you should grow to solid food. In fact, we can see this point in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Hebrews 5, verses 12 to 13. Again, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says, "You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right." You see, some people, they're still living on milk. Let me tell you this. Once a baby gets past the age of one, you notice that milk cannot see them through anymore. They need to start eating solids. If not, they will not grow. Even if they are still taking that milk, it's no longer enough for them. Right? It's literally no longer enough for them. They need to not just eat milk, they need to start getting solid food in, right? So mommy has to start supplementing like breast milk with like solids and pureed foods and all those things, right? Even supplemental milk, because the child is like, hey mom, the stuff that's coming from your breast is not cutting it anymore. I need more, right? So that's the thing. If you're not growing in your walk with God, right? If you're still on milk, your growth is going to be stunted. Right? In fact, you're going to start retrogressing. You're going to start falling down those developmental lines as a child of God. Right? So please, I want you to have that growth mindset. I want you to have that development mindset. Because again, many people do not have that mindset. Many people are just comfortable in their walk with God. Right? They're just comfortable. They're like, hey, I've surrendered my life to the Lord. You know, I pray for 5 minutes every day. I go to church on Sundays. I don't hurt anybody. I don't harm anybody. I'm just going to stay at this level and I'm good to go, right? I'm going to go to heaven, whatever. No. You need to be careful. Because again, the Bible says, let him that thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Stop being spiritually asleep. Because as you keep taking that sleep, that slumber, that comfort, you're going to put yourself in trouble. You're going to fall at some point. Remember what we read from the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 11, right? If you're not growing, if these things are not increasing, then you're ineffective, you're unproductive in your walk with God, right? So please, I will encourage you today, have that mindset of growth. And before we pray, if you've not surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you remember from 2 Peter 1, 3 to 11, it says, add to your faith, virtue. Well, you're not going to be adding if you don't have that foundation in Christ first. And you acquire that foundation by surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, if you want to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, again, I will encourage you to listen to episodes 254 and 287 on the website, right? 254 is the Salvation Podcast, and then 287 is Salvation Decision, What is Missing? Because there are many people that think that they're saved, but they've actually not really been saved, right? They've actually not really been saved. So in those podcasts, I talk about what salvation truly entails. I talk about what true salvation is. And then if you count the cost and you decide for the Lord Jesus Christ, then at the end of episode 254, there's an opportunity for you to say a prayer with me to surrender your life to the Lord. If you go through with that decision, I'll then encourage you to listen to episodes 96 to 101 on the website, 96 to 101. It is titled The 5 Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It will tell you specific things you can do so you can grow in your walk with the Lord. So Father, I thank you for your word we have heard this morning. Lord, we pray for the grace to continuously improve. We pray for the grace to constantly improve. We pray for the grace not to be left behind. We pray for the grace not to maintain, but the grace to all these things, all this fruit of the Spirit, let us keep growing in them. Let us grow from milk to solid food. Let us have all these virtues and be growing in them so that we can become more and more and more like you. So Father, we pray that may you please help us. We cannot do this in our own strength because this requires hard work. But we know that the grace of God is available and we know that you have sent your Holy Spirit as our helper to see us through. So Father, please help us to the glory, honor, and praise of your holy name. Thank you for your word. Please minister to our hearts and give us the grace to put these words into practice. It's in your mighty name we have prayed. Amen. So thank you for listening to this podcast. I will see you in episode 307, I believe. Have a wonderful rest of your day. God bless you. Shalom.